originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it was all for Chuck McGee. Super Sabre wins the Derby for Todd Fletcher.
Basalt will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you here on this program, a special Kentucky Derby Week edition of the show for you here tonight, and want to welcome everybody tuning in on Sirius Channel 219, XM Channel 201, and all of you listening to us live with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net, and all of you tuned in with our podcasts on that same website, horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with me as we look ahead to Derby 145 coming up this Saturday at Churchill Downs. Of course, we will have that live coverage for you here on the network. You can visit our website for a complete broadcast schedule. Kentucky Oaks coverage beginning 4 o'clock on Friday. Kentucky Derby coverage beginning 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And of course, the Derby brought to you in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. Happy to do that for you here on the network. It is truly a privilege and truly a privilege to bring you this show here tonight. When you think back on the sport of thoroughbred racing, and we've talked about this many times on this program with several trainers over the years, if you're winning at a 25% clip in this game, that's a pretty good percentage. And it's a percentage that might even be good enough to find yourself in the Hall of Fame. Well, for Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer, 17% wins in the Kentucky Derby is good enough to find himself in a position going into this year's race to equal fellow Hall of Famer, the late Ben, Plain Ben Jones. Plain Ben saddled six Derby winners from 1938 to 1952, five of those coming with Calumet. It was a great run for Ben Jones. Bob Baffert sits one behind him going into this year's Derby. He has saddled five. His last two, Justify last year, American Pharoah in 2015. As you know, both went on to sweep horse racing's Triple Crown. Bob comes into this year's race with three really good chances. He has Game Winner, the juvenile champion, who already has proven that he can win at Churchill Downs, having won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile there back in November. He has Roadster, the Santa Anita Derby winner, and he has Improbable. Three really good opportunities to join Ben Jones at the top of the list. 29 starts in the Kentucky Derby for Bob Baffert. He has those five wins, he has 3 seconds, and he has 3/3. He's as good as it gets. And earlier this week, I had the privilege to stop by Bob's barn and to sit down with him, and it was really cool. It was just Bob and I. Jimmy Barnes, his longtime assistant, was there in the office with him. They were walking through some of their strategies as to how they were going to get horses from California. Now, keep in mind, when we were sitting down, the only Derby horse of his three that was there at Churchill Downs was Improbable. Game Winner and Roadster were still making the trip from California. And Bob and Jimmy were trying to plot out what time they were going to be there, how they were going to do it. But then, keep in mind, those aren't the only horses Bob Baffert has. So Bob and Jimmy were trying to plot out the course for their other horses as well. And I found that really neat. I know it happens in every barn. I've never had the privilege to be sitting there and be part of it. And after Jimmy stepped out of the office and it was just Bob and I said, Bob, I don't understand. I'm always amazed at how you and other trainers, guys like Steve Asmussen and Todd Pletcher, that have horses all over the country and have big strings, how you keep it all straight logistically, because there is an awful lot that goes into it. And he looked at me and he said, that's why we have Jimmy. Jimmy Barnes has been such an integral part of that operation, and he deserves as much credit as Bob Baffert for those Kentucky Derby victories and the Triple Crown wins that they've been part of. Well, it was really neat. I spent time, about 20 minutes or so, with Bob, and we walked through his previous Kentucky Derby wins. We looked back on those victories. We lamented, or he lamented, his near misses, and we discussed how Bob views himself in Kentucky Derby history. Here he is, Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Hope you enjoy. Bob, first of all, thanks for taking the time, and welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. It's nice to come up today, driving up and see all these people back here. It's, you know, the Derby experience, just the week leading up to it, that's probably the best part. You know, the race, it's over in 2 minutes, you know, but it's why we're in the game, why we, you know, 7 days a week make all these sacrifices. But at the end of the day, this is, you know, this makes up for it, and we're here and just waiting for the, hope everything plays out nice and for this week. So far, so good.
What's it like when you walk back into Barn 33, where we're sitting right now, and you come back in here for the first time to start Derby week? What's that like?
Well, I mean, when I drive up and you see all the crowd, they're waiting, you know, they want to, you know, a lot of fans, they just love horse racing. And when you see all those fans out there, then you get out of your car and they're like, oh, you know, they want to get a picture. They want to, you know, a lot of people, they come from everywhere. And so it's exciting for them also. So I make sure that, you know, everybody enjoys their experience.
On the wall outside of your barn, there are signs that have the names displayed of all five Kentucky Derby winners. There's your Kentucky Oaks winners. I look at that sign, that board, and I'm in awe. How about you? When you look at it, do you, what comes to mind?
I think it looks a little light. There should be at least 8 Derby wins up there. No, you know, it's pretty remarkable. I've never thought. I remember the first time I came here, with Cavaneer, I was just hoping to light the board. I never, you know, envisioned myself winning a Kentucky Derby, but it was fun to be here, and we had a blast. I mean, really enjoyed the whole week, and then getting up and getting beat right on the wire.
Unbridled Stone, Cavaneer on the inside, up the middle of the track, Grindstone is closing stoutly. It's Cavaneer on the inside and Grindstone on the outside. McCarron and Bailey, here's the finish. Again, too tight to call. Was it Cavaneer on the inside? Was it Bailey with Grindstone on the outside? Noses apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that was horrible. I wish I would have gotten beat 2 lengths. I would have felt better. And so, and then to come back and, you know, Silver Charm wins. So it's one of those things where you just better enjoy every moment, because you never know when it can happen again. Because, you know, winning 2 in a row, that was not good, because I thought, man, I got this down. There's no problem. And it went pretty quiet there until War Emblem. I got lucky and just bought him a month before. So I just think that everything happens for a reason. I believe in fate. And, you know, I was supposed to get beat a nose and suffer a little bit and then win 2. And then I had some bad luck, you know, with point given. He just didn't run that day. And looking at Lucky, had a bad trip. Bodie Meister went way too fast early.
Bodie Meister holding on to the lead. I'll have another. On the outside is closing in. I'll have another color. Bodie Meister. Dullahan on the far outside. Here's the wire. I'll have another. Has won the Kentucky Derby.
And then we come, you know, with American Pharoah. He barely gets it done.
It's American Pharoah in front. Firing line. Dorfman is third. Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish. American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
And then Justify, you know, he gets it done after a, you know, a Bodemeister type pace.
As they come into the final furlong, Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside, who's now up in a third. Justify, a 2-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
And so when they hit the wire, I'm just so relieved. Like, oh, I got to do it again. So when I come in here, I always, I just, I just pretend like it's the first Derby I've ever been to.
Of the five that you won, are there a couple that for whatever reason might be more rewarding than the others? I know they're all special, but are there a couple that stand out maybe a little bit more?
You know, I think those first two were the most exciting. I really felt that Silver Charm winning, and it was for Bob Lewis. You know, he's just such a great guy. And then him holding on after getting beat like that.
Silver Charm to the front, on the inside, Freehouse on the outside, Captain Budget. It's Captain Budget on the outside, Silver Charm at the rail, those two to the wire. Here's the finish, Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens.
And then winning it for my good friend Mike Pegram. Real Quiet.
But Real Quiet is at the eighth pole. He's got the lead by two. Indian Charlie, Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
You know, I had two in there. I had Indian Charlie and him, and there were people that had been with me forever, and so that was, those were really exciting, where I really just, you know, and War Emblem, it was, you know, we bought him, and I think it would have been better, point given, if he would have won, that would have been bigger, because I really thought that was going to be my first Triple Crown winner. I think he was the right horse for it, and but we just didn't show up that day.
You think about the great athletes in sports that have won six championships, Michael Jordan, six NBA titles, Tom Brady, we saw him win a sixth Super Bowl. You're in search of a sixth Kentucky Derby, which would equal the great Hall of Famer Ben Jones, if you can pull it off. To hear your name now, Bob Baffert, the guy from Nogales, Arizona, that grew up getting run off with horses, you've told me those stories before, to be in a position like this to win six Kentucky Derbies, you ever think in your wildest dreams you'd be in this position?
Not really. I remember my brother, he was in 4-H. It's this, you know, and he was judging and showing steers, and he won this contest. And so he got a trip to Lexington, Kentucky, and to go to farms, and he came back, and he brought this magazine, a blood horse magazine. And my father got it, so my father, he ordered it, and he was telling us about the trip. I'll never forget, Najwa was on the cover. He was a stallion. He was on the cover. And I think the horse was, and if you ordered the blood horse, they would send you a headshot of the Kentucky Derby winner. And I remember it was the horse year before Majestic Prince, whatever that horse was.
Okay.
And he put those pictures in the kitchen. And I remember looking at those pictures and I go, Dad, what horse, what is that horse? He says, oh, that horse won the Kentucky Derby. And that's when I really knew about the Kentucky Derby. I didn't know what it was. And so then the Blood Horse magazine would come in, and I started reading the Blood Horse, and I started learning about thoroughbreds, and because we were around quarter horses all that time. And so that was my introduction to thoroughbred racing, is when my brother went there, and I forget what year it was, but I wanted to say it had to have been like in the 60s, late 60s or whatever.
Yeah. You know, you're always so humble every time we get a chance to talk, and you're reflective too, which I love. You appreciate history, the history of the game. I mentioned Michael Jordan. I mentioned Tom Brady, considered the greatest of all time in their sports. Is Bob Baffert the greatest of all time in thoroughbred racing? Do you look at yourself like that?
I want to get paid like those guys, okay? I am, you know what? I don't really look at it that way. I think that I'm not the athlete, you know, the horses are. I'm more of a coach. And so I think that I just feel, you know, I'm just glad I did a lot of it while my parents were still alive. That meant more to me than anything, because they got to see their son win the Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, they weren't around for American Pharoah, and they would have loved that because, you know, they were there for all my other Triple Crown races. It was so disappointing. It's funny how you can win the Derby, the Preakness, and you're riding this high, and the minute you get beat in the Belmont, it's like you lose every feeling of that you had. You know, you can't say, well, we won the Derby, yeah, but, you know. It's like American Pharoah. When when he got beat at Saratoga, we were on this super high. And the minute he got beat, I'll never forget, we flew back. And he comes back to Del Mar, and there was nobody waiting for him. You know, before we'd come back from the Haskell, there'd be like 30 people. Couldn't wait to see him get off the plane and all that. But it's funny how you get beat. It's like, man, you're just like, and you remember things like that. Like, where'd everybody go? You know, but it's, you know, to be in this position and, you know, to me, I work now, it's for my clients. You know, I want them to enjoy it. I want them to have the Derby experience, get in here early, watch them train. That's the whole part, you know, go to dinner, talk about it. The whole town is talking about horses. And so, and when, you know, there's nothing, I remember last year with Justify, is watching the ownership group, you know, where I'm getting them across the track to make sure everybody got in because it was rainy and, and it's tough to get in the winner's circle. A lot of security. So I stayed back. You know, I told Jimmy, well, you take care of the horse. I'm going to stay back, make sure, you know, everybody gets in. And it's a good thing I went back because, you know, like Kenny Trout, they wouldn't let him in. And
wow.
It's tough, I'm telling you. And China Horse Club, Mr. Tao, his wife, was in a wheelchair. We had to get her in there. And so it was, you know, I stayed back to, you know, I got to do a lot of, the managing keeps going, right?
Yeah.
To go back there. Because I remember the first year when Silver Charm won, my sister and her husband, they wouldn't let him across. So they weren't in Silver Charms. Because it's crazy. You know, you're excited and everybody's trying to get across. So after that, I made sure that when I won the Derby, I stay back and make sure everybody gets in.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's neat. You talked about your parents and wishing they were here to see American Pharoah and the Triple Crown, but at least they got to see you win some Kentucky Derbies. Now, as a father, you get to share those moments with your son, Bodie. He's always by your side at these big races. Now, how neat is that?
Yeah, he really gets nervous. He's like his mother. But my other boys, you know, I get to share it with them too. And Bodie just loves them. So we're always hanging together. They show up, but they don't get as nervous, you know, as like Bodie. He's around it 24/7 because he knows how we feel, how difficult it is. And so my other boys, they come here to party and, you know, and get with the program. But it's, you know, when with Bodie Meister, it was tough on Bodie when he got beat. It was really, I could tell it was really bothering him. You know, it was his namesake and all. And so, but, you know, when American Pharoah won, he was like, NBC had a shot of him. They just happened to have a camera on him. And it was priceless, his reaction. This little boy just jumping up and down, going crazy. And so to me, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, horse racing is like, it's you can't really, until you've been through it, there's not the feeling of just winning a race, but to win the Kentucky Derby is like the most exciting, you know, experience that you can. You know, I'm sure it's like a player winning the Super Bowl, or, you know, you can't wait, or when you win the Masters, you know, it's like the Derby is, Masters is in golf, you know, it's like, it's a very, it's difficult, it's a unique, and it's, you know, it's one that, you know, they can, they can't take it away from you.
There's that picture, that famous picture of you winning with Silver Charm, your first Kentucky Derby, and you've got the trophy and you held it up above your head or put it on top of your head. And that picture has been shown millions of times in the world of thoroughbred racing and the world of sports. The Bob Baffert that was here when you won that first one, the Bob Baffert that's here in 2019 looking for win number 6, what's different about those two guys?
The first ones, that was sort of like the obnoxious Bob Baffert. But I was having fun. You know what? You work so hard. I came from the quarter horse world, so the etiquette. You know, I didn't know the total etiquette of thoroughbred racing yet. You know, I'm just a cowboy. And I was just, you know, you're up there and you think, you know what? I may never be up here again. And I was just having fun with it, you know, but sometimes having fun can come across as being obnoxious to some people. And so I've toned it down quite a bit. I'm just the more kinder, thoughtful, maybe, Bob Baffert. But there's a little kid in me that, you know, once in a while I might dab here and there, depending on the excitement of it all.
Well, that's what makes you who you are. It really is.
It's exciting. The thing is about it, you know, and we don't have a football to spike or anything like that. We got to do something, you know, and so it's the excitement of it all. And in those early years, you know, my brother was come with me. We'd have a lot of fun and entertain all the reporters in the crowd. And it was like the Bill and Bob show. But now, you know, and my parents would be watching and on television or something. And so we would always, you know, I was entertaining them.
All right, let's talk about the three horses you have in this year. And I'll just say their name. You tell me the first couple of thoughts that come to mind. Game Winner.
Game Winner, Champion, Gutty. Comes off two tough losses, you know, where he just got beat. But I really think that now I've got him in a spot now. He's ready now for the next, you know, I think now he's ready for the Kentucky Derby. He just needed two runs there to get him ready. And that was the plan on all these horses. So I think he'll get a mile and a quarter. You know, he's not, you know, he needs some pace to run at. But now, you know, Rosario can ride him with a lot more confidence. He can just sit on him and make his move.
He won the Juvenile, Breeders' Cup Juvenile, here at Churchill last year. Is there an advantage to having already won over this surface?
I think the advantage is having a really good horse. That's the advantage here. You better come with a runner, but you need to draw well. You need some racing luck. The whole key is to save. You have to save ground in the first turn. That's the whole key. I mean, you can get away with it being outside. You know, Farrell was outside wide the whole way because he was just a superior racehorse. Justify was a little bit wide, went extremely fast, superior. I can't say that for these three, you know, that they're in that league yet, you know. They're really good horses. So I said Omaha Beach, you know, he's beaten Game Winner and Improbable. So, but he hasn't beaten Roadster yet. So, but you never know. They have to all show up.
How about Roadster? Tell me about him.
Roadster was to me, he was like, at the beginning, you know, as 2-year-olds, he was the one that really stood out. I thought, you know, he's got potential. You know, when a quality road can really run, they can really, really run. And I think the distance is not a problem for him. He's a lighter framed, really lean looking horse. He'll get a mile and a quarter easily. He's got enough speed to keep him up close, keep him out of trouble. He has gears. He's got a new rider. I said Mike Smith. It's tough for him to, you know, I think maybe I could have forced him to ride him, but I didn't want to do that. You know, I said, you ride the horse, you know, if you think, you know, that horse is a better horse, then ride him, you know. And so, but I think with the right kind of trip, I think he's got a lot of upside to him. I think, you know, coming off, he had run a long time. His comeback race was great. Didn't win, and he beat Game Winner. I don't think Game Winner saw him, you know, coming on the outside. And Santa Anita has been very deep and tough to get through. You know, and horses don't close. And Roadster is the only horse that closed that day. You know, and so the California horses seem like they're pretty tough. And so I don't know. I think he's always a horse that I thought that was could be like a superior type racehorse. And so, but then he was on the shelf for a while. So now we're coming back. So, you know, if he's that good, you know, he can get it done.
Improbable.
Improbable. He's, you know, he's a beautiful horse. He's like a Justify, but a little smaller version of Justify. But he's got probably the fluid motion you'll see. He's got a beautiful long stride. He's quick. He's gave me really scary moments. I put the blinkers on him. He got a little upset. Got a little anxiety. He was in the gate a long time. Could have easily sat down in the gate. He was acting up. And luckily, they opened the gate. They let him out because he was getting ready to just lose it in the gate.
Oh,
and,
wow.
He was losing the gate. I was losing it watching him. and then for him to get back in there, and he still broke like a shot, tracked horses, was wide, and was and he got beat by a really good horse. But, you know, he got beat. He only got beat a length after all that, and they still beat the field like three lengths or whatever. So, you know, he's a horse that, you know, I thought Breeders' Cup Day, he won the Street Sense race a mile. And he looked as impressive as game winner.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like, you know, we thought, well, maybe this is the Derby horse. So he's the kind of horse that, you know, with the right trip, you know, I think all three of them, you know, if they get the right trip, they all, it's hard for me. I can't really separate them right now. And I just hope when they turn for home, I hope it's just those three turning for home, you know. So, make, you know, that'd really be enjoyable.
How do you keep an eye on all three?
I usually, what I do is, what I'll do, it depends what post positions they're in, and I'll usually watch one, and I'll have people around me watch other horses, and I just want to know how they break, you know, and I'll just, I try to, you know, I'll usually watch the one that's, if one's acting up in there a little bit, you know, or whatever, but I think that I don't know which one I'll be watching at the time, you know.
Well, good luck, my friend. Hopefully number six is in the cards for you here on Saturday. And you've always been so gracious with your time with me, and I can't thank you enough, Bob. Thank you.
Well, let's hope there's a six out there, because I don't want to wait another 10 years like I did.
Let's go get it done this year.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
My thanks to Bob for that visit. Really fun to catch up with the Hall of Famer and to look back on those wins and to hear him talk about going down this road with his family and wishing that his parents could have been there to see American Pharoah sweep the Triple Crown in 2015. And you think about his accomplishments. I mean, five Kentucky Derbies is sensational. But then you throw in that his last two have won the Triple Crown. And that's just hard to believe. It's hard to wrap your head around the fact that one person in this game, and we know how difficult this game can be, just to get a horse to the starting gate, forget about win a race, forget about win a stakes race or a Kentucky Derby or a Triple Crown race, but one person could be that good. And to manage his horses so well that they could sweep the Triple Crown twice. Does he get a third this year? Who knows? He's got three great chances to win the Kentucky Derby. He has Game Winner, the Juvenile Champion, Roadster, the Santa Anita Derby winner, and Improbable. You just heard him talk about each of those at the end of that interview. I wouldn't bet against him. Definitely wouldn't bet against the Hall of Famer in here. And you've got some other great storylines. Don't forget about Bill Mott. More than 4,900 wins to his credit. He's never won the Kentucky Derby. He was the all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs until Dale Roman surpassed him. He knows how to win races there. He has a couple good chances. You have Richard Mandela, fellow Hall of Famer, yet to win the Kentucky Derby. In their defense, Bill Mott, Richard Mandela, have not saddled that many horses in the Kentucky Derby. They haven't had as many chances as guys like Bob Baffert and Todd Pletcher. But they paid their dues, and they know how to train a good horse. Should be a great Kentucky Derby. We're going to be there to bring you that exclusive radio coverage here on HRN, that coverage coming up Saturday in partnership with NBC Sports Radio and with Westwood One. You'll be able to join us all Derby Day beginning 2 o'clock Eastern Time for that coverage of the Kentucky Derby undercard and a bit of a Derby preview. It's all presented by TwinSpires.com. Then at 5 Eastern, we segue into that exclusive Derby coverage with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for all the channel information on SiriusXM, for a listing of terrestrial affiliates, and to listen worldwide. You'll be able to do that on your phone, your computer, your mobile device with our website, horseracingradio.net. Don't forget that tomorrow, Thursday, we're live from Churchill Downs with our Derby Countdown show, 8 a.m. Eastern, presented by Hillendale Farm. You can also join us for Express Bet Radio, 3 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, and the BristNet.com call-in show at 6 Eastern. Call in and talk some Derby with Anthony Stabile and with Ed DeRosa tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Eastern. On Friday, we kick it all off with Express Bet Radio. Or check that. No, we don't, because we have our Kentucky Oaks coverage on Friday. That's right. It is Oaks Day. So we have our Kentucky Oaks coverage beginning at 4. Prior to that, you'll hear a special edition of the Naira Betts Weekend Stakes Preview from 3 to 4. Then our Kentucky Oaks coverage beginning at 4 o'clock and taking you all the way through Oaks 145. So an awful lot of things to look forward to. Head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete Derby Week schedule. And be sure to check out the podcast of this show, My Visit with Bob Baffert. You can do that on our website as well. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, for our special guest, Bob Baffert, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening to Trainer Talk presented by Phasic Tipton. Nominate now to the 2019 Phasic Tipton Gulfstream Selected 2-Year-Old and Training Sale. The Gulfstream Sale was the number one ranked 2-year-old sale in 2018 by ROR on pinhooks and percentage of profitable pinhooks, with an average of more than $385,000 and a median of $295,000. And more horses sold for $1 million or more than any other 2-year-old sale in America last year. It's the Phasic Tipton Gulfstream Sale, March 27th, 2019. Nominate now at PhasicTipton.com.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
You know, it's never too late to start talking racing at Woodbine. Major race dates you can look forward to later this year include the Woodbine Oaks on June 8th, the Queen's Plate June 29th, the Woodbine Mile September 14th, the Grade 1 Summer in Natalma Stakes on September 15th, and the Grade 1 Canadian International October 12th. Opening day at Woodbine, April 20th, turf racing beginning mid-May. Tickets on sale for the two-day Queen's Plate Festival right now. Visit woodbine.com/Queen's Plate.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I think the WIN program is a very positive and important thing for breeders, because if the stud farm supports the breeders that support their stallions, that's an important thing to me. I want to know that the stud farm also has the breeders' interests in their mind. This year we had a mare that we wanted to breed to a stallion that we thought might be a little bit over her budget, but when we realized that we had the WIN awards for our business plan, it worked perfectly into getting that mare to that stallion at WinStar.
Talking with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why focus on the nose? Isn't the throat a big problem in racehorses?
Mike, when we think about the upper airway in horses, we typically end up putting on a tongue tie or operating on its throat to improve airflow. What you may find interesting is that when we measure the anatomy of the upper airway and the flow, the narrowest part that causes the greatest resistance in all horses is the nasal passages. That's where the strips work. If you want to improve airflow to the lungs, you need to consider the nasal passages.
Learn more at flarestrips.com/learn.